of God. I'm going to stop smoking in Jesus' name. That commitment is more than the smoke or the object itself. It is to the one and only God who we are making the ultimate commitment to. And so it's easier to focus on God and expect him to do what he said he'll do when our commitment is unto him. But notice it says something else. Trust also in him. We commit our way to the Lord. That's relinquishment. We're relinquishing everything and everybody and every situation that hinders us from getting closer to him. But the next thing is we need a reliance. See, if we're going to relinquish something, we're going to have to rely on something else. See, and the problem is if you just relinquish and don't rely, then what you've done is created a major void. And so that's one of the reasons why people who come out of the world must fill their lives with righteous activities, good and wholesome activities, so that they can enjoy life in a fuller way. That's why a lot of people in the world who are active and who enjoy life and do things think that being a Christian is boring. So far from the truth is that. Matter of fact, if the Christians did everything that they were supposed to do, they would be worn out every day. Every day, believers don't live no boring life. Look at the Bible. Look at the New Testament. Look at Jesus' ministry. Matter of fact, John records that if everything had been said and done that Jesus did, he supposed that the whole world could not contain books sufficient to tell the whole story. We have just a microscopic view of all of the wonderful things Jesus has done in the earth realm. And when we begin to recognize we have got to rely on him. Notice the word says, trust also in him. Don't just commit your way to him, but trust also in him. Christians often fail to trust in the Lord as they should. They rely on their own strength, and 9 out of 10 times they fail. They rely on their own ways, their own thoughts, their own conclusions, and they fail. Some Christians depend on others. And it's all right to depend in a limited form. I depend on doctors and lawyers and professional folk to do certain things, but my trust is only in the Lord. I can't put my trust in the doctors because the doctors have limited abilities. And while I thank God for the doctors can't do no more than God allowed them. I can't put my trust in the lawyer, even though the lawyers are trained to be able to interpret the law and make it do what it do. But I can't put my trust in the lawyer because there is a God who sits up high and looks down low, who is able to do what no lawyer, no judge can do. I can't put my trust in those things of this world because anything that is touchable and tangible is also temporary. Y'all catch that on your way home. If I can see it, if I can touch it, if I deal with it down here, then it is temporary. I deal with a God who is eternal. And so I must recognize that I must put my trust in him. Can't put it in bank accounts, they fail. Can't put it in stock markets, they fail. Can't put it in money markets, they fail. Can't put it in all of the things that we deal with as security down here because they fail us. God's way is best. Scripture says, Psalm 37:40, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them because they trust in him. Look again. The Lord shall help them. At some point in time in your life on this journey, you're going to need the Lord's help. The word says God will deliver them. There are going to be some things that you get in, and there are going to be some things that get in you. You're going to need some deliverance on this journey. And then the Bible says he will do this because they trust in him. Have you ever gotten yourself into something, the Lord, and nobody but the Lord? got you out? You didn't trust him to ask him, what should you do? You just did it, leaning to your own understanding. And when you got there to a dead end road and you found out there were no U-turns and you discovered that you were stuck in a rut and you finally decided to call him up and trust in him, did he not deliver? I wish I had a helper in the house. Y'all sitting here looking like, I ain't never been in nothing I needed the Lord to get me out of. I ain't never made no mistake. I'm here because I've made perfect decisions all of my life. So far from the truth is that we've all needed help. We've all needed deliverance. And it's finally because we trusted God that he made a way out of no way. And then the last thing I'm going to say about this verse, and I'm closing, is the Bible says, and he shall bring it to pass. And that's the reward. You see, if we have the good sense of learning how to relinquish that does not have the dealings of God, and if we learn how to rely on God, trust in God, believe God, no matter how difficult it may be, no matter how bad it may seem, but to know that God is faithful to his word and to those who practice his word, if we can just rely on him who does not, cannot fail. He asked the question, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, the resounding answer comes back, no, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Well, if there's nothing too hard for him, why don't you rely on him then? There are just some doors you can't open by yourself. There are just some things you can't do by yourself. There are some things you can't get through by yourself. There are some ways you just can't make for yourself. But if you rely on God, he will make it so for you. And so now he brings this word to a conclusion on a high note when he says, and he shall bring it to pass. Now I want to tie this end word to the beginning of this word in this fifth verse. First of all, if we commit our way unto the Lord, for the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord. That means whatever we have heard from him and what he has promised us and what we've committed to, be committed to that. Listen at this. And that literally means to do your part. Somebody say, do your part.
Do your part.
Let me tell you what God doesn't expect you to do. His part. God wants you to do your part. If you do your part, listen at this, he's guaranteed to do his part. And so literally what that means is, look at it, what the end of verse 5 says again, and he shall bring it to pass. My commitment is simply to walk in the way that God wants me to walk, to do what God has ordered and ordained me to do. And when I've done my part, he shall bring it to pass. You see, I get all messed up in the head trying to figure out how this thing is going to work out. It ain't my business how it's going to work out. It's not my problem to try and figure it out. All I've got to do is my assigned task. And the Bible says, and he, and a connective conjunction which ties what I do together with what he does.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's LOBDELL Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, We pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Second Chronicles 7, and as soon as I say that, some of you caught it already. Second Chronicles 7, one of those texts a lot of us heard growing up, that 16th century Elizabethan version used to say, if my people. But God's Word version says, however, it's on the screen, 1 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray. Remember this, seek my face. God's Word version says, search for me and turn from their evil, turn from tripping, turn from acting crazy. Lean on somebody, say, he'll get to you in 1 minute. Go ahead, turn from porn, turn from stuff that's not of God's will. If they pray, here's what I'm going to do. Somebody should get encouraged. I'm going to hear their prayer from heaven, forgive their sins, and Mr. President, if you're watching, heal their country. Heal their country. My subject this weekend, prayer, the real national emergency. You may take your seat in the Lord's house. Prayer, the real national emergency. In the past, I have stated that in 2016, the leadership mantle of our nation was passed from a dignified Democrat to an unpredictable Donald. Sadly, our political discourse has now been reduced to 3 a.m. tweets by our commander-in-chief whenever he's in his feelings. He stated that he feels that the building of a wall on the southern border has now become a national emergency, again in an attempt to appeal to his radical far-right base. I think all of us with just a bit of common sense who have lived more than 10 years know America has far more pressing emergencies than a wall on the southern border. If not having a wall would lead to our extinction, we would have been gone already. God has kept us without a wall. And speaking of national emergencies, I would suggest that our greatest emergency as a country, as a church, as a family, come here, brother, as a man, is a lack of prayer. That when we learn how to get in the face of God and trust him more than we trust anyone else, trust him even when we can't trace him, he will make a way out of no way and sustain you. All marriages that are tripping, all singles busting moves that are unlike you and God's word, I'm telling you that prayer or the lack thereof might be the greatest national emergency. In our text, it's amazing because 1 Chronicles 7, most of you again know it. I'm telling people, don't assume anything now in this countercultural society we live in. You have to be countercultural because culture suggests the word of God is not important. A lot of people don't read like they should. In verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 7, you see it up there? Look at it. Verse 1 says, when Solomon finished praying, fire flashed down from heaven and burnt up his burnt offerings. Wow. When Solomon finished praying, let's break Solomon down. The Bible says the wisest man that ever lived. If I believe the Bible, me, your father, no preacher, no pastor, no one that has ever lived or shall ever live will be wiser than Solomon. He had God's wisdom. God said, this is the wisest man that ever lived. And yet, he goes into prayer. I guess I'm already peeping a pastoral parenthetical, and that is that a wise man prays, a wise woman prays. One might argue that the true attribute of true wisdom would be prayer. that if I really have wisdom, then I know without God, I can't do nothing.